hi, everyone. So I hope you had a good Christmas and we'll have a good new year as well. So I'm going to talk about some of the stories that caught my eye in the last few days. Now, first of all, the German stock market hit a record high, and that hasn't been reported as much as the US stock market's hitting record highs. But what's very interesting is the Japanese stock market has hit its highest point in 29 years. And what's interesting about the Japanese stock market is it's looked undervalued for more than a decade on a price to earnings ratio. But what always makes people afraid of the Japanese stock market is the declining population in Japan, despite the fact that obviously most Japanese firms are selling globally, and also its very bad long-term performance. However, I've done articles about this and I've explained how actually if somebody would have reinvested their dividends and bought the Japanese stock market alongside different indexes like the US stock market, they would have actually done very well in the last 30 or 40 years. But the media obviously suggest otherwise. But I think increasingly we're going to see more and more people interested in the Japanese stock market from the point of view that it's on a roll now. It's had a good 12 years. In fact, it's done almost as well as some of the US stock markets in the last 12 or 13 years. And I think once we see it approaching records that it hit during the bubble, and it eventually goes beyond that, sentiment is going to completely change towards it. It's already changed to a large extent, but I think it will change more in the future as well, because more people are going to look for value, whether that's in Japan, whether that's in China, whether that's in the UK. That's going to be a trend, and I think there's a very good chance that non-US stock markets could outperform next year, although we never know. As I always say, nobody can predict stock markets. If there are numerous lockdowns next year, then NASDAQ might once again outperform, so you should stay diversified. But the point I'm making is people are going to look more towards those markets. Speaking of which, the Chinese stock market, which has also performed quite badly, has actually done well this year as well, like emerging markets in general. However, the Chinese stock market is very risky. And I think the biggest risk is the political system, because it's a one-party state. And we saw that in action a few months ago when Ant, the financial company owned by Alibaba and Jack Ma, wasn't allowed to IPO. Now their stock is falling because it seems the Chinese regulators and government are going after Jack Ma. So the Chinese stock market is quite a different animal to any other stock market in the world, really. Maybe Vietnam has some comparisons, but it's a very frontier market. So when it comes to China, I do think it looks quite undervalued like Japan, but that isn't a good reason, I think, to put a high percent of your assets in the Chinese stock market. And the Jack Ma story, the second one I've listed below, very much shows that. Now, talking about risk, the third article speaks about how many people are leaving London. Now, I'm not saying London house prices are going to go down by 70% tomorrow, or New York or Singapore, Hong Kong house prices. But what is absolutely true is that the fundamentals have now completely changed. Before, most of the good job opportunities were in big cities, especially sometimes capital cities. So in the UK, as an example, London and the Southeast has most of the good job opportunities. However, we were seeing more people work from home even before the pandemic and remotely, especially tech companies. But now, obviously, it's skyrocketed and we're not going to go back to where we are or where we were, should I say. And that's changed the fundamentals from the point of view. There's always going to be some people who love living in big cities and capital cities. The hustle, the bustle, the cosmopolitan attitudes. I mean, think about a place like London or Paris has some of the best restaurants in the world. I'm not saying that people only live in capital cities or big cities because of the job opportunities, but clearly it's one of the top two reasons why property in those places has skyrocketed in the last 30, 40, 50 years. Or even the top one. I think the main two reasons why people go to big cities is the job opportunities and also the lifestyle. However, one of those is going to go away. Not completely, but more people can work remotely. More people can work from home. And more people can at least work 2 or 3 days a week from home and 2 or 3 days a week in the office. So I do think more people are going to sell their properties in London, New York, and so on, and then buy a place outside of those big cities and pocket the difference. Because if you think about it, in a place like the UK, if you've got £1 million house, which is quite normal now in London, you could sell it. You could buy a really big place for free for £500,000 in many parts of the UK. You could pocket the difference. In some cases, you could even retire early by investing that difference well. So I think we're going to see some big changes. That doesn't mean everyone should rush to sell their London property. Again, just like stock markets, we never know for sure what the trends are going to be. But it seems likely now that the trend we've been seeing for the last 30, 40, 50 years, where big property increases are seen in the bigger cities, but smaller cities and towns don't see the same thing, it could well reverse. Now, the final article speaks about some of the trends we could be seeing in 2021. And what's very interesting about this, is that it talks about trends like the high street being in permanent decline, working from home or replace office life, renewables can provide the UK's energy needs to a larger extent, cash will eventually be doomed, and so on. But I think a lot of these things were happening before the pandemic. All that's happened after the pandemic is more people have become convinced to do things more quickly. For example, I was watching a documentary about Germany, and Germany is famously very conservative about money, and many Germans, compared to other countries, still like to use cash. But now, because of the pandemic and also worries about, you know, the pandemic maybe, you know, changing attitudes to cleanliness, because of course cash can be dirty, and also just the needs of the pandemic, it's ensured that even Germany now has gone very quickly towards using cards. But I think that would have happened anyway in 5 or 10 years. And a lot of the trends we're seeing were happening before the pandemic. The only difference, I think, is this. Some things like tourism were skyrocketing before the pandemic. And of course, now they're not. But a lot of the other things we've seen, it's almost like just pressing the fast forward button as quickly as possible. So I made a video about this time last year when I talked about the trends of the 2020s. In other words, between 2020 and 2029. And I was talking about things, it was on my YouTube channel, like more business going remote, how I was working remotely for years, all of these things. So the pandemic really has just skyrocketed that process. So even in a best case scenario, where this time next year the pandemic is pretty much dead, people have gotten used to doing things in a different way. Even old people, even people who weren't using online before, even people who didn't like working at home before, they've gotten used to it now. I was watching another show about South Korea, and one of the gentlemen on the show was saying, oh, in the first few weeks, I didn't like working from home. I felt like I was working all the time, but now I've got used to it. And I think that's the bottom line. People have gotten used to doing things in a different way.